Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And thank you for tuning back in for segment two of this special investigative report about really who we are fighting, who we must fight, the precision that we need to have behind it, understanding where we've been, where we're going, understanding the present, what's happening right now, and what the future may or may not look like. I'm going to be, at the end of this series, I'm going to put it all together for you. I'm going to pick up the tempo a little bit. The first part, I ended with the the yellow fever vaccines against the 17D strain, or the 17D strain vaccines, yellow fever. And of course, with that of course was a Rockefeller Foundation product, and a 1987 study by the VA found that this botched 17D vaccine, more than 300,000 hepatitis B infections took place in U.S. troops during World War II. There it is. Now, the developer, of course, Max Thieler, he was appointed director of the laboratories in New York. Again, the very place when I started out with, the Good Club met, but not only was he appointed director of that lab, he also won a Nobel Peace Prize in medicine. Okay, there was another discipline, but regardless, you get the idea. So they're rewarded by their failures. Now, compare and contrast the yellow fever initiative, the vaccines at that time, with now Bill Gates. And I should add this. The yellow fever, this 17D strain vaccine, remains to this day. It's the only method right now to control yellow fever. Okay, so where's all the money going? NIH, NIAID, CDC, and so on. Where's the money going? So compare and contrast yellow fever. The mosquitoes now, it was transmitted by mosquitoes, but now mosquitoes, Bill Gates has funneled almost $100 million into engineering in the releasing of 2 billion genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida and California. Why, you might ask? Because they can. And I must note now that treatments are a cash cow. Cures are not. The PR campaign, as I mentioned in the first segment, which was nothing more than a smokescreen. Look, we're going to invest, rather than you being looked at, whether it be Rockefeller or even Gates contemporaneously, as a person with all kinds of money and selfish. No, how about this? How about you taking a stand for some sort of philanthropic type of activity? And that's what's taking place right now. It's all a smokescreen. Yeah, Bill Gates gets up there, a big proponent for inoculations, vaccines, as he calls them, which they're not. But the money behind that, his investment of $10 billion turned into $200 billion at the end of toward the end of the coronavirus pandemic. Okay. Now, this is where, when you invest dollars into health, the government becomes reliant upon, in this case, as well as previous cases, the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and other health programs become reliant. So they are able to take control, these unelected bureaucrats, because people, I've heard people ask, well, how did Gates is this guy with an operating system and not a great one at that. How all of a sudden is he making health decisions? He's doing so because he's underwriting the government. Okay, that's the whole thing. The same thing John D. Rockefeller did is the same thing Bill Gates is doing. Again, the same methods, different people, same methods. Now, with Rockefellers, you have to go down because this is a generational thing. With Gates, not so much. Now, the biggest proponent, period, of the current eugenics program, which is what this healthcare is all about. It's not really health. It's about depopulation and eugenics, is John D. Rockefeller Jr. Okay, so how do you control or depopulate or control the population through healthcare? Remember Bill Gates talking about that? We can do it through vaccines. Simple. If the right people accepted, for example, birth control as normal, as a normal thing, and in fact a right, overpopulation would not become a problem. That is the thinking, the mindset of the Rockefellers, of the oligarchs I mentioned earlier, and or in the first segment. So, go back to 1910. Rockefellers gave money to Eugenics Record Office, Bureau of Social Hygiene, American Eugenics Society, which led to the evolution, or the, I don't want to say the birth, but the coming of age of Margaret Sanger. Okay. Now, follow me on this, because this is extremely important. Margaret Sanger published, this is what she published, Birth Control in the Negro. Now, I want to point this out. When I was doing the research on this, you see that paper right there? Okay. That's part of a larger series of essays. And when you fact check, or when you go to look for the paper, Birth Control and the Negro, the fact checkers will say, well, no, it doesn't. That's fake news. It doesn't exist. The hell it doesn't. It exists. Margaret Sanger was the biggest racist, anti-black eugenicist on the planet. And I should add that Hillary Clinton won the Margaret Sanger Award, to which she touts and says, oh, what a great person Margaret Sanger is, when in fact Margaret Sanger wanted to kill anybody that essentially was infirmed in any way, had any birth defects, or was black, or I should say non-white. Now, birth control in the Negro, that was adopted by the Rockefeller medical complex that backed Margaret Sanger. Why am I telling you this? Because this enters into today with these designer DNA, and many other issues related to that. So you've got John D. Rockefeller Sr., now having sons, John D. Rockefeller Jr., and Jr.'s sons include John D. Rockefeller III and Nelson Rockefeller. If that name sounds familiar, let's see, wasn't he governor of New York? Yeah, I think he was. Wasn't he vice president? Yeah, I think he was vice president at one point under Ford. Now, excuse me. And thanks to the Rockefeller support throughout the years, Nazi scientists learned from American eugenicists and employed a lot, Nazi scientists employed a lot of the American byproducts of the American, the U.S. eugenicist program, including I.G. Farben, the owner of Bayer, the creator of Bayer Aspirin. They participated with the Nazis. They manufactured Zyklon B gas, which killed the Jews during World War II, and the Christians, gypsies, and so on. And if that's not enough, how many of you out there remember or know about the after or the morning after pill, RU486, RU486? And some people can see the hidden meaning behind that RU486. But it's an abortifacient, and it's still distributed today. And who by? By Planned Parenthood. All right. Again, this is leading up to where we are today. So what happened was, during the mid-20th century, the Rockefellers, along with the corporations associated with the Rockefellers, they monetized birth control. They eliminated, and by doing so, and by advertising as such, they eliminated the consequences of free-reign sex. Just have sex and you can get rid of the problem, of course, which is an unborn child. And they stretched the morality of our communities. This was by design. This is the Rockefellers, Sangers, and the people around it. And then at the same time, and again, I'm going quickly. In 1941, you had this really insane dude, Alfred Kinsey. He got the first grant from the National Research Council, which is a Rockefeller-funded organization, for his sex projects. Sounds like fun, right? No, it's not. Developed the Kinsey scale. This is between 1941 and 1954. And again, I'm going somewhere with this. In the 60s, which was a consequence of the Kinsey era, the Rockefeller money, the Sanger eugenics, the abortifacients, and all of this, that brought, and Kinsey's sex project concluded and was touted by medical professionals now, although you hadn't heard about this. This was kind of like an undergrowth of the medical community at the time. But as a result of Kinsey's findings, which began initially not in the medical or the hospital community, but in the psychological, psychiatric community, the fact that human sexuality is a non-binary, gender fluid situation. Planned Parenthood and the Rockefeller Population Council promoted alternative sexual preferences. Okay, what would the result be of normalizing homosexual relationships? Of course, population reduction. Why are we seeing, for example, this explosion of late of LGBTQ, BLT stuff, right? Why are we seeing that? Why are we seeing this explosion of transgender normalcy? Hey, it's okay, normal to be trans. Because this was planned in the mid-20th century and taken forward. This is Rockefeller money. And I've got something to say about what's coming up next, really important. But the consequences here, the transgender agenda, the oligarchs, whether it be their families, their foundations, their corporations, or they themselves, invested $2.1 billion. Actually, it was a $2.1 billion annual windfall for the transgender agenda. Because of the transgender agenda for the medical and pharmaceutical industries. Now, that number is expected to reach between $5 and $6 billion by 2030. So not only does it accomplish population reduction, but it also is a cash cow for those involved. Now, real quick, I want to go back to 1952 very quickly. The Rockefeller Foundation, they created the Model Penal Code, which was a rewrite of the laws in the United States. And some of the things that this did, which still is in effect today, reformed abortion restrictions in the states right through 1973 until Roe v. Wade. As a matter of fact, one can argue that the reason Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court was the slope up to, well, the slope that involved the reformed abortion restrictions in the states. Some 19 states reformed the abortion restrictions and adopted justifications for abortion. That whole process birthed reproductive rights, upon which the Supreme Court got it wrong, but ruled on Roe v. Wade. So you had the Rockefeller Foundation and everyone in every organization in person, scientist, medical doctor, medical center in the orbit that was getting funds, not just promoting the abortifacients, not just promoting alternative sexual lifestyles a la Kinsey, but also pouring money into initiatives to reform the abortion restrictions in states until Roe v. Wade was passed. 19 states signed on to this. Essentially, no abortion restriction. And they birthed the term collectively reproductive rights. Right before Roe v. Wade, John D. Rockefeller III and the Rockefeller Foundation launched the first bioethics research institute, the Hastings Center, that was involved in population control, also behavioral control, euthanasia, and genetic engineering. Again, why is this important? Because this gave way. They were instrumental in legalizing abortion, normalizing abortion, but it also gave way to that period after Roe v. Wade, between 1973 and 1987, where the government funding for reproductive research and contraception also merged with private funding, or was replaced. The government funding was actually replaced by private funding. And then there was this hybrid of funding. And, of course, Planned Parenthood was involved in that. But birthed from this hybrid funding, in addition to abortion, believe it or not, was the right to die. The right to die. So they were pushing abortion at birth, and the right to die, or euthanasia, if you were sick, or for the elderly. The U.S. government spent some $572.6 million during this time, during that 14-year period, between 73 and 87 on population control research. Why would they do that? Because, again, the whole idea was to reduce the population. Well, now the sales pitch was also, was also involving we have to save the planet. Again, during this time, it was an extremely important time that created the narratives that we're seeing today. So all of the people I just mentioned, all of the companies I mentioned, this is what we're talking about. And I should add this. One, excuse me, my goodness. There, I just cleared my throat. The Rockefeller Foundation, I want to advance here a little bit. I'll tell you what. 1970, New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller, which was Junior's son and Davis' brother, they signed a bill narrowly passed by the legislature that legalized abortion with minimal restrictions. That, of course, was in New York State. Just an absolute, and this is prior to Roe v. Wade, but an absolute slaughtering of the unborn. They had no residency requirement. They were the only state to permit that. And then, of course, in May of 1972, the New York State Legislature said, hey, you know what? This is really bad. We're going to overturn the pro-abortion law. And it was immediately vetoed by Nelson Rockefeller. Now, the Rockefellers, of course, Nelson and the families thereof are still heavily involved in all of this. Now, before I go on, I just want to say this. I want to thank TrimWithDoug.com. Folks, visit TrimWithDoug.com. If you're like thousands of us Americans this holiday season, if you've eaten a bit too much, I know, believe me, it's easy to do that. If your New Year's resolution revolves around weight control, you can rest easy knowing that most of America is with you on this journey. Nearly half of Americans say that their resolution is related to weight control, fitness, or physical health, making it the most popular New Year's resolution by far. So there is this really magic pill. I'm telling you, magical pill that only for weight management. So it's the only thing for weight management solution I found to be that effective. Extremely effective to control appetite, manage weight, reduce fat, control cravings, and increase energy. It essentially uses a unique nutrient that's linked to supporting reduced body weight, reduced fat mass, and reduced weight circumference. You know, girth. That's Eric and I's new favorite word. Anyway, there's no artificial flavors in this pill. No artificial colors, preservatives to hold you back on your health journey. Try it today, folks. Try it today for a whopping 51% off this New Year's. Plus, receive free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, two free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat, and Top 8 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Order before this offer ends by going to, that's right, you heard me right, trimwithdoug.com. Once again, that's trimwithdoug.com. I appreciate you doing that. All right, I'm going to get back to the investigative report here. And to bring things around into where we need to be right now to understand where this is all going. In 1988, the Rockefeller Foundation, and you're gonna get tired of hearing me talk about the Rockefeller Foundation, but when you understand they've got their tentacles into all of the medical and pharma complex, you'll understand why this is so important. The World Bank, I'm sorry, in 1980, the Rockefeller Foundation created or began to investigate the creation of anti-fertility vaccines. In fact, they ran trials in New Delhi. In 1991, they, along with the World Bank, UN Population Fund, and the World Health Organization Task Force on Vaccines and Fertility Regulation, developed this injection to prevent pregnancy. That was in 1991, and there it is on your screen. That's the that is the Rockefeller Foundation and some of their initiatives. Now, here is something that will strike home with you. In 1992, William Jefferson, Bubba, got the blue dress on. Clinton was elected. He was absolutely the most pro-infanticide president to date. William Jefferson Clinton, go figure. You know, the Epstein Island darling. Hang on. I submit to you. The Clinton-Rockefeller connection runs very deep. What would you say? Now, everyone out there probably knows this or has heard this. Chelsea Clinton doesn't look too much like Bill, does he? Does she? Huh. You know who she looks like? Webb Hubble. But here's something perhaps you don't know. William Jefferson Clinton's mother worked as a housekeeper for guests. That's right, Winthrop Rockefeller. And at the same time she was working as a housekeeper for Winthrop, this is Bill Clinton's mom, same time she was working for Winthrop Rockefeller, she became pregnant. Now, look, I don't know. I'm just saying. But when you look at Winthrop Rockefeller, Mama, and Bill, it's kind of like looking at Webb Hubble, Hillary, and Chelsea. This is why the Rockefeller connections run deep. And, you know, it's said you've got to have a certain bloodline to become president. Unless something screwy happens where you actually, Donald Trump wins the presidency. Can't let that happen again. But does William Jefferson Clinton have the Rockefeller bloodline? Why is that important? Again, it's all about power with these people. Okay. He was so anti-life. Pro-abortion, and on the second day of his presidency, William Jefferson Clinton signed just a crap ton of investigative orders. And really increasing abortion access in ways the U.S. has never seen. And since that time, since 1992, one of the biggest exports of abortion, of population control and eugenics, complements of Bill Clinton, has been infanticide, eugenics, as I said. It's all Bill Clinton. Clinton overturned Reagan's Title X and regulations that banned abortion. Slash clinic referrals by federal employees. In other words, everything was a go. He repealed the Mexico City policy. What was one of the first things President Trump did? He put the Mexico City, and people think, well, that's about immigration. No, it's not. It's about abortion. The Mexico City policy, Trump reinstated that. And the Mexico City policy banned U.S. funding to legalize the or perform abortions in foreign countries or subsidizing thereof. But see, Bubba said, no, let's do that. That's a good thing. President Trump said, no. And don't you know, Biden, of course, got back on the bandwagon and is promoting the Mexico City policy once again. And in addition to that, even today, overturning the bans on fetal tissue transplants, okaying the U.S. military hospitals to perform abortions. That's the government then under Clinton. That's the government now under this Biden regime. The tentacles of the Rothschilds run deep. Also, the Danco Labs, they hold patents for RU486. Guess who benefits by that? Guess who's part of Danco Labs? When you really dig deep, there are two standouts, Warren Buffett and George Soros. They're the beneficiaries of the morning after pill, the abortifacient, the RU486. Again, why is that important? Because this is all about depopulation. This is all about eugenics. But why? But what are they saying? I mean, why would you want to do that? Just to kill people and take their stuff? Well, it's all because of climate change, climate control, I should say, or climate change. Now, if you come forward to around the COVID-19 era in 2018, the National Institute of Health provided a grant to the aforementioned Hastings Center. And this brought about the human-animal chimera research. And what this did was the insertion of human cells and DNA into animals, specifically mice. There's the Hastings Center right there on your screen for those watching on Rumble or Brighteon. Folks, let me tell you something. Okay, this is absolutely, absolutely incredible. When you dig into what these organizations are doing, who's involved, who's making the money, but what's the end game here? When you go to 2021, the National Institute of Health, it was revealed that experiments that it funded at Wuhan, by way of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which created COVID or helped to create that, in addition to using the genetic sequence to create the mRNA, the modified RNA, slab jabs, which at the same time, or a little earlier, I should say, but roughly through the same time, CRISPR-Cas9 innovation was in the works. Now, what is CRISPR? Because you've heard the term, right? I bet you've heard CRISPR. But what is it an acronym for? Clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats. Don't ask me to repeat that. You can rewind it. But what this is a genetic scissors edit of the human genome or any living organism. CRISPR work began in 2008. That's right. CRISPR or Cas9 work really began in 2008. But as it got closer to 2019, that work increased. That's CRISPR technology. Okay. So who's behind a lot of this? Well, you hear an awful lot about the World Economic Forum, right? I know you do. But the World Economic Forum is the daughter of a group called the Club of Rome. Dr. John Coleman wrote a lot about this, the Club of Rome. Currently, it's got about 100 members, and you're looking at heads of state, members of the scientific community, of the medical community, politicians, lobbyists, not your plumbers or not your normal everyday run-of-the-mill, people like you and I. No. These are people that have some power in government or some power over policies. So the Club of Rome is behind a lot of the, and by the way, they steer public policy. But what's their end game objective? Again, under this guise of humanitarian efforts, it is population control. Why? Well, you hear about the, hey, we got to reduce the carbon, carbon zero, carbon this, carbon that. It's, well, it's these people. These people are making the, it's, you can all day long, you can point to the World Economic Forum and you would not be wrong, but don't stop there, because birthed out of the Club of Rome was the World Economic Forum. And let's not forget, as I approach the, near the last several minutes of this segment, let's not forget the Kissinger report, the World Bank's population planning report of 1972. Okay. Again, Club of Rome, or I'm sorry, the World Economic Forum, offspring of the Club of Rome. At the same time, you had Klaus Schwab bending knee to Henry Kissinger. And then Kissinger's report, the World Bank's Population Planning Report of 1972. And at that time, roughly the same time, you have David Rockefeller Sr. openly declaring that he is part of a cabal working, and this is, I'm bringing the receipts. This is absolutely 100% verified. David Rockefeller Sr. openly declaring he is part of a cabal working to destroy all U.S. interests everywhere. So this guy is in all of these groups, from the Club of Rome to the Rockefellers, and I would even throw in William Jefferson Clinton in there, or William Jefferson Rockefeller in there. They're anti-U.S., but most importantly, they're anti-humanity. You see why COVID-19 was just basically an exercise? By the way, and I don't know if I opened in the beginning with this, but if you watched the news last week, you would know that getting an abortion will get you a seat next to Joe Biden at this year's State of the Union address. Huh. How far have we sunk morally? How far? How far have we gone? I have a lot more. And I want to be careful. There's a lot of information built into that. I have a lot more about this. But, you know, the Rockefeller, the Gates, the World Economic Forum, the Faucis, the incestuous relationships folks, as well as, you know, I want people to remember this. Bill Gates was embroiled in a very bitter antitrust battle with the Clinton Justice Department over the Microsoft operating system, their business practices. Now, Bill Sr. was overseeing the emerging Gates Foundation. Bill Gates Sr. was also part of the Planned Parenthood leadership. Now, on separate occasions, Gates had invited renowned disease experts, including and especially Fauci, to the house that Microsoft built, this palatial 66,000, interesting number, square foot house in Seattle, dubbed Xanadu 2.0, after, of course, the fictitious mansion in Orson Welles' Citizen Kane. But Fauci... And again, this all connects together, and hang with me through this end of the series and you're going to see where we're at, where we're going. Fauci recalled being pulled aside when he was at Xanadu, of course, at a dinner party there at this secret meeting. And the Bill Gates Jr. was beginning to take this more active role in the foundation affairs and wanted to discuss a mutually beneficial arrangement with the U.S. government's foremost vaccine expert. And at that time, that's when the relationship between Bill Gates Sr. as well, who was an arm's length away from Fauci, and Fauci himself of the NIAID, that's when their relationship really began in earnest. And he said this, Tony, you run the biggest infectious disease institute in the world. I want to be sure that the money I spend is well spent. That's what we're talking about here. And this Gates, by the way, loves to have working dinners. This can be found in, I believe, the book Control Oligarchs, as well as, I think, The Real Anthony Fauci. But understand where we're headed here. The gates of hell are upon us. And by the gates of hell, I'm talking about Bill Gates. So as we go through this, in the final moments here, in the final 4 minutes here of this segment, over nearly two decades, beginning in the year 2000, Gates funneled more than $10 billion into various vaccination and antivirus efforts, including the tens of millions that he had invested in messenger RNA, modified and messenger RNA technology. He ultimately, and I told you this before and you saw it, called this the best investment he ever made, and he walked out of there with just billions in terms of, well, post-COVID, billions post-COVID. Now, lastly, for this segment, enter Dr. Birx, the lesser-known face of U.S. government's pandemic response. She was a part of this whole group of individuals. Gates, Fauci repeatedly warned, and you've seen this too, that a pandemic was this emerging and pending threat. In addition to that, we saw Fauci guaranteeing, I think from one of the news conferences, that President Trump's administration would undoubtedly suffer a pandemic, at which point we did. So what was that all about? You know, I know, of course, that was about control. That was about taking President Trump out of office, getting him out of office, but equally, if not more importantly, creating a surveillance and a panopticon of control over the American public, the entirety of the world, actually, and subjugate every person into a slave-type group, okay? Slaves of the oligarchs. And again, who are the oligarchs? Go back to segment one. And again, Birx was involved in this group of people. Gates, of course, dumped $3.1 billion into various programs run by Fauci, run by Birx, much of which, I should add, were HIV/AIDS related initially. Okay. Fauci cut his teeth on the AIDS HIV situation and lied his backside off. That's where the book, and you've got to read that, The Real Dr. Fauci, comes in. Now, this next couple of segments I'm going to just bring everything around, and you'll be able to understand and realize where we're at today. And hey, Disease X, is that a thing? And if so, what might it be? Or is it something else? Or both? Folks, I hope you found this informative. Stay tuned for part 3.